talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. Exchange Club.
Hey, and we're back. It's a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk. Friday, Getaway Friday, November the 4th, 2022. 14 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk time. Linda, if you want to jump, that mic works better for some reason. That green microphone, for whatever reason. And our new camera we have in studio here is exciting. You know, we had a camera in here, and it worked just fine. But this new one, I think, is really doing the job. Way better. You have to see this picture here in a second. I'll try. Look at that. Look at that picture. That's working much better. Linda Sims joins me, of course, host of Voice of the People here on WGH Talk every Wednesday and Thursday from 10:15 until 12 noon. You don't want to miss that for love nor money. Well, Linda, we had the legendary man himself, 90 years young this year. George Kasotis ran business after business after business, and was around with all the politicians, the movers and the shakers. Just a legendary man.
Yes, he is. Far beyond my education. And I'm sorry I didn't know that sooner than today.
And now we'll be making an appearance on your show at some point.
Yes, I'm excited about that. He has so much history, a wealth of information.
Now, I should mention that George will also be back with us on the 23rd. Boy, the 23rd is going to be a big day. Talk about an early Thanksgiving celebration, Thanksgiving Eve. It will be Linda and George and Bob Welsh coming in from Columbus, bringing the pumpkin pie pizza. Glenn Coble will return that day for 4 hours. Okay. And we're going to have a whole four-hour pre-Thanksgiving celebration. And who knows who else will wander in on
that
day.
So true.
We'll feed them because George is bringing food. And we're all going to talk about what we're thankful for. And we're going to get in the holiday spirit. And we're all going to have a good time on November 23rd that morning. So don't miss that. And pumpkin pie pizza. Oh, and that day as well, George will be signing a pizza crust to enter the Upper Crust Society. And Mary Ellen Withrow will be signing a pizza crust. Now, Bob and I will have to go to Mary Ellen because she's still recuperating from her injury.
Okay.
But we will go to her, and she will sign a pizza crust.
Right.
And then we'll have three people in the Upper Crust Society, myself, George Kasotis, and Mary Ellen Withrow. And then Bob will return for the fruitcake toss, and he's going to present Mary Ellen Withrow with her plaque on Thursday night, December 15th at 7 p.m., and if George can make the fruitcake toss, he'll get presented that night. Auto holidays are going to be big.
Well, good. Holidays should be.
And I want to mention that we are at 31 people for the fruitcake toss. We've got Fruitcake Lily, Sarah, Judy Cressup, Glenn Coble, Angie Evers, Buckeye Guy, Pastor Whitaker, Ralph Thacker, Dono Bauer, last year's champion, myself, Brandon, Sean, Terry, Linda, Adam, George Kasotis, Bob Smith, James Anderson, Dr. Davis, Mike McGinnis, Bob Welsh, Abby, Lieutenant Brown from the Police Department, Sheriff Bales, Fire Chief Chuck Deem, former Mayor Jack Kellogg, Ed Pickett, Ted Jolliffe, Mr. Neal, Jacob Barnhart, and Jeannie Evers.
Oh my, what a list.
31 people.
That's a lot of people.
And there's still people out. Now, have we had any updates to the fruitcake toss list? If we have, give us a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any updates to the fruitcake toss list? Anybody you'd like to nominate? Anything of that nature, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. And again, I want to thank Brinley. Who says we don't have young listeners? Brinley, who is rather young, she drew and colored a picture for me. of Maddie,
cute.
One of the characters in her a book she just read, and she brought me Halloween candy Butterfingers. Isn't that nice?
That's so sweet. Yes.
We have the best listeners in the world. I always say that. So we're getting ready for it. It is going to be big. And again, the phone lines are open. If you have anything you want to say, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. What a high old time we're going to have coming up on November 23rd. And George was telling you a little bit of history there, Linda, about... Now, was it a member of your family, or what was that?
Well, part of my family. He was talking about Tom Reese also, which is my cousin. His mother was my grandfather's sister, so we are blood related. And he was telling us about the Ace High. He was telling me about that he owned that building. I had no clue.
Now, what was the Ace High?
It was a club or a bar, you know. But he was telling me about back in the day when they had a orchestra there. They had music there and a dance floor. You know, when I started going there, it was a jukebox.
A few years later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 20-something years later, right? So, I just did not know that he was the owner. Now, Willie Favors, his friend, the owner, which part family in a way by marriage, also to my family. So, I knew him well, went to school with his daughter, Christine. We were best of friends. But to think about that, way back in 52, he said he bought that building.
Now, it's no longer there, is it?
Oh, no, it burned down.
Now,
where
was it?
Nothing there now. On the corner of Hocking, it's like almost like a, what you call that out there? A landing.
Oh, really?
Before you get to the landing there, it's like a V, and it sets like a V across Kenton Avenue tracks.
We got a message from Mary here that Brinley is in first grade.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So our listenership goes from first grade to 90-year-olds.
Yes, that's great.
What other station crosses the gamut like that?
That's a big divide.
And that's why we're here.
Yes, we are.
And again, if anybody has any questions, give us a buzz about George or anything else, 740-383-9944. Now, we do have big election night coverage coming up this week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be big. It's coming up this coming Tuesday. Boy, oh boy, we're going to get a lot of questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we go on the air. It'll be our ninth year doing this. We will go on at 7:15 p.m., and we will not go off until all the races are called. Now, here's how this is going to work this year. Glenn Coble and Terry Tackett are going to be down at the Board of Elections.
Right.
Linda and Sean will be here in the studio. I believe Angie will be here. And I will be here. And we're going to have call-ins that night from a lot of people. We have got a list of call-ins that night from people running for office, people who were in office. It's going to be a huge, huge night here. You don't want to miss that nonstop coverage Tuesday night starting at 7:15, 15 minutes before the polls close. And we'll all get here about 6 o'clock. We have a little pre-show dinner. We get ready. We get a plan together. And then we hit those airwaves, and we don't stop until it's done. Now, that night, the races of interest are obviously going to be the local commissioner race, which is Dr. Davis and Kathy Masters. We've also got the fire levy here in town. Will that pass to get a new fire station? We've got the River Valley School renewal levy. We have got, of course, the gubernatorial race, Nan Whaley and Governor DeWine. We've got our mayor running for state treasurer against Robert Sprague. And we have got the big Senate race up there, Tim Ryan and... J.D. Vance. So those are the ones we want to keep an eye out for on Tuesday night.
Big night.
Big night. And usually we're done by 10, 11 at the latest,
mm-hmm.
which is not bad when you think about it, because a lot of votes to count.
Yeah, it is a lot of votes to count, and it's a long night.
Yeah, it is a long night, but you know what? It's fun when those returns start coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you learn a lot.
That's true. That's so true.
We're going to learn who our next governor is. We're going to learn who our next state treasurer is.
But they kind of change the system or the reporting when you're down there waiting. you know, to report. It's like they give you one little sample, like at 7 or 7:30, maybe close to 8, but then they don't give you any more until they've counted everything. That's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So I don't know if they're going to change that up this year or not.
What is the point of that? I still don't know why that changed.
It made it so much interesting, you know, and you was more excited about it than just sitting there waiting for hours, like 3 hours, just waiting.
Who's down there?
I don't know the people who took the place of, what was his name, Big John?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I call him Big John, but John. Quite a few people have changed hands there. Wasn't there also a female that got fired during that time?
Well, I think a lot of people resigned, were
right,
let go.
Right, just left that post, and you have new people in there, and they do things differently.
But, is there any other media down there?
Well, when I was there, last time I was there, News Force was there.
That was it?
Mm-hmm.
No Marion Starr?
Well, no, I don't think he comes in. What's his name? I can't think of his name. He comes here sometimes.
Mitch?
No, Marion Starr. I think I was thinking about WMRN. But
oh, Jeff Ruth.
Jeff Ruth.
He was down there?
He's been there before.
But not last year?
No.
So basically down there, we just have News
Force.
Or
Judge Finnegan.
Oh, Judge Finnegan. Now, what is Judge Finnegan's position with the Board of Elections?
He handles that like talk radio, almost like, I don't know, words fail me this morning. Like a walkie-talkie type thing. And they do this.
Oh, ham radio.
Yeah, ham radio. He does that. And him and another guy was with him last time I was there.
Now, so we have all that going on. Now, what do you think's going to happen locally here come Tuesday night? With Dr. Davis and Kathy Masters?
It's kind of hard to say. If we can't get Democratic voters out, it may be a Republican win.
Now, what about fire levy?
Fire levy? I expect that to pass.
And the River Valley Schools renewal levy?
I expect that to pass, too.
Now, Governor, DeWine and Nan Whaley.
Well, a lot of people don't like Governor DeWine. A lot of people I think they have a problem with a woman probably being in that position, but I've come to this conclusion. I think it was just this morning. It shouldn't matter who's in position, as long as they're for the good of the people. Whether it's Republican or whether it's Democrat, we just can't think that whatever party is there, they are there to doom us all. We just can't have that mindset, you know, because that defeats the purpose of having freedom and being able to go vote and choose and elect, you know, a party or a person to represent us. So, yeah, I kind of came to that conclusion this morning. It shouldn't much matter. Because nowadays, people go with the flow. They go with the trend. They go with whatever the culture's doing, you know, trying to please everybody. And you can't please everybody. So you do your best, I think, with what you have to work with and the people you have to work with. So I'm thinking that maybe I would love to see Nan win, but I think Mike DeWine is favored.
Now, what do you make of our mayor running for treasurer against Robert Sprague?
I really hope he wins. I really do. He has my vote. I'm hoping the support of his community.
Well, that becomes the big question that night. Will he carry Marion County? That's going to be another big thing to see that night.
I surely hope so.
Do you think it's in the cards?
For him to win Marion? Yes.
You think?
I think it's in the cards.
Even though Marion has not voted Democrat in... I don't know the last time we did go Democrat, to be honest with you.
Well, they voted for him.
Well, they did locally, but yeah. I don't think the county as a whole has ever gone Democrat for any statewide candidate. Boy, I don't know how long it's been. it's well over 25 years.
And for him to skate by as running on the Democratic ticket, It may be. I'm sure it is an uphill battle.
The way it looks. I'm sure it is.
Yes, yes. But I hope he can squeak out a win.
Well, it'll be interesting. The city tends to be a little more Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But the county definitely is a little more Republican.
Okay.
When you look at the county, you got three county commissioners. They're all Republican. You've got the sheriff, who's Republican. A lot of Republicans in the county.
Yes.
Well, a lot of Republicans in the city now, too. So
in the state.
Yeah, so I just think it's going to be an uphill battle, but, you know, I don't know anybody who would wish the mayor ill.
Right.
I don't think anybody would do that. But how it will turn out that day, I don't know.
That's a big question.
And that's why we'll be here to figure that out.
Right.
Figure what else. Because, you know, whether he wins or not the race, whether he carries Marion County is also a big question.
I would like to think so.
We'll find out.
Right. I would like to think that he could at least carry us, you know, Marion County.
We'll be sitting here Tuesday night when it all shakes out. So we'll know what happens. But, well, then we got probably the closest race in. We got Jim Jordan here running against Tammy Wilson, I think's her name.
I haven't even voted yet. Have you voted, Scott?
No, I haven't. I wait for that day.
Do you?
I do, because I like to go out and see how many people are out.
Okay.
That way, when I come here that night, I have some kind of idea of how many people were at the polling locations.
Right. Where's your polling location?
Dayspring.
Okay.
Which is very nice.
Yeah, it is a nice church.
They give you cookies and things out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's a nice little polling area.
Whoa. That's nice, then.
I look forward to vote.
Okay. Nothing wrong with it.
No. I think the two biggest are Dayspring and Coliseum.
Yeah,
probably the two
I
biggest
go there,
polling places.
But there's hardly anybody there. I mean, it's a big place, and I've never had to wait in line.
No, and I don't know. It's not a presidential year, but it is a gubernatorial year. So I don't know if we'll have a big turnout or not. I really don't know.
Well, we need to have a big turnout because of the Senate.
Well, that's the race.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance, and heaven knows we've seen nothing but commercials.
Yes.
Who's going to win that one?
I have no clue.
Tough one.
Yes, it is a very tough one. I just think we need a balance of powers in the House. I really do.
I'm not even sure how to call that one at this point.
I don't either.
You know, what do you make of Nancy Pelosi's husband getting hit in the head with a hammer?
Someone had to tell me about that.
Isn't that awful?
Because I don't watch news like I used to, right? Since I changed my whole system on my TV, so. But I think it's disgusting.
I just don't understand how something like that happens. How do we get to the point where you're hitting an 82-year-old man in the head with a hammer?
Rhetoric.
Yeah, but what?
And people feel obligated to do something about it. Well, if no one else will do it, I'll do it. I'll go.
Yeah, but what do you do? I mean, how do you knock it back?
I don't know. Everyone is not brave enough to go do what he did. But someone gets it in their head, I'll be the one. I'll just like terrorists. I'll be the one. I'll go blow up, you know, the buildings in New York City. I'll get all the glory. I'll get, you know, it's like.
Well, yeah, but what did, he's not even a politician.
It doesn't matter. We're talking about him.
We are, but, you know, it just seemed to me like, I don't know. You know, somebody said to me the other day they wondered if that was staged with the elections coming up.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, that there
someone
might be
breaking some into your house and beating your husband in the head with a hammer.
Well, I guess that maybe there'd be some pity for the Democrats. I don't know what the theory was, but I was asked that. That tells me where people's minds
are. Yes, it does.
And I honestly don't know what you say. I don't say. You know, when people say stuff like that, I just kind of.
What can you say?
Blow it off.
You have to.
It's sad because, you know, here we come, an election, one of the biggest things we can do here, one of the most patriotic things we can do, And what are we going to do?
Vote. Please go vote.
Vote. That's about it. That's about all we got. And so this week on the show, who was on the program this week?
I think I have Damon Mosley. He is an author. He dwells in Columbus, Ohio. I went to somewhat like a seminar to meet. He had a meet and greet in Delaware, Ohio, at their public library, and I met him there, and he will be on my show. I think that's Thursday he'll be on my show, and still working on Tuesday.
Tuesday. And the 23rd, we're going to have the big party.
Yes.
That's going to be big, big fun. And, well, as we look at, what do you think about this fruit cake flavored Mountain Dew?
Really?
Yeah. It's called Fruit Quake.
Oh, my. It's got to be interesting, I'm sure.
But it's flying off the shelves. Now, I don't know why. Awful.
Oh, they're selling it at the stores?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, someone was making that up special.
Fruit. No, unfortunately, it's real. Fruit Quake flavored Mountain Dew.
Hey, you gotta love people. They have all kind of ideas, don't they?
All kinds of creativity, mm-hmm. I guess, is what mm-hmm. we would say there. You know, I'll be glad when all these ads are over. I will say that. Holy mackerel. These political ads will drive you nuts. Now, Sarah called in. I don't know if she's on her lunch right now. But Sarah called in earlier, and she was talking about how she would like this Fruit Quake Mountain Dew. I think her taste buds must be shot. I wonder if she liked hearing George today. I told her we might have a special guest today, because I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it in. But I wonder if she liked George. Oh, and we still never have got our two questions answered. I know we had some people. Does anybody know the answers to these? How many years did Mary Ellen Withrow serve as treasurer of the state? Because that's different than treasurer of the United States.
Okay, okay.
You know, this is the office that our mayor's running for.
Right.
So how many years did Mary Ellen Withrow serve as treasurer of the state of Ohio? And what years was Mary Ellen Withrow treasurer of the United States? From what year to what year? Now, somebody the other day called in and said they had a guess on this. So here's the question again. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How many terms did Mary Ellen Withrow win as treasurer of the state of Ohio? And what years did she serve as treasurer of the United States? Those are the two questions. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
And Mary Ellen.
Yeah, Mary Ellen, who maybe is out there listening this morning. You never know.
What
she would know the answers.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't know if anybody else is. You know, history is a tough thing. I don't know if we learn history like we should anymore.
You're right.
You know, we bring somebody like George in, and we get a lot of history, which is good. But I don't really know if we're all that interested as we should be.
Some people are not.
No, and I don't know why. Why are we not interested?
I think what people fail to understand, it has a lot to do with our future.
Well, that's it. You know, it's not just the past.
Right.
It's where we're going in the future.
Right.
So I don't know. It's unfortunate, I guess, that we don't pay attention. But you know what do they say? If you don't pay attention, you're doomed to repeat it.
Doomed to repeat it.
And maybe that's where we're headed. I don't know if we're doomed to repeat it or not. I hope not.
Like some things, like God forbid that we have to go back there. But you know.
Yeah, but you don't know.
No, we don't know. We do not know.
There's a lot of things going on in the world.
Yes, it is.
And from day to day, you just don't know what is right around the corner.
Mm-mm. No. Too bad.
You know, I don't know. We were talking last week about what happens when... We spent a lot of time on this. What happens when you have a disagreement with somebody, and then somebody they know gets involved, but doesn't tell the original person.
So how's that going?
Well, you know what? I think it turned out okay because I don't know what happened, but I think the person who got involved told the person.
I thought he would.
Yeah. So it didn't have to come to anything else.
Good.
And at that point, it just kind of, I don't know, it really kind of dissipated because there really wasn't much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of blew over, I guess.
Well, good.
Which is good, but I don't know. Now, see, it's interesting to me. I wonder if that was a guilty conscience or once it was done, they thought, I shouldn't have done that. I don't know.
Could have been a low vote.
Well, I think it's bad to get involved in other people's affairs unless they ask you to get involved. Now, if they ask you, that's a whole nother thing.
That's true. Husband and wife are a little different, though.
It is, but, I mean, do you really want to get involved? I mean, if you're there, if you're in the room, okay, well, yeah, you've heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just getting it hearsay, I don't know if that's the best thing to do, get involved.
And it also depends on how it was delivered to him.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, right. Of course the story, you're going to come off looking bad because your person's telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course they're going to tell you what they want you to hear.
Of course.
This is why I don't think people should share, really. I mean, I don't know why you would want to share things that happen. You know, good things, I can understand that. Positives.
Right.
But negatives, you know that's not going to go over very well.
That's so true.
I mean, if you run home and tell your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend that something bad happened, you should have some kind of anticipation of how they're going to handle that.
And you do. That's why you tell them.
So you want them to get
yes.
involved.
If not, comfort you, address the issue. And I think that would be the reason why.
But didn't we discover last week that that's pretty much inappropriate?
Can be, yes. Because it could have got out of hand.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I just think if you're going to tell somebody something, the best thing to do is if you got to know what their response is going to be. You know, I would hope that you know that person well enough to know what their response is going to be. There's stuff that I don't tell people because I know what their response is going to be. Now, I don't hide anything from anybody.
Right.
And if anybody would ask me flat out, I would tell them.
Right.
But, you know, there are certain things that have no bearing on, if it doesn't involve that person, if it has no bearing on them, if it has no outcome, why tell them?
That's true. I mean, I agree with that.
Well, it's like, you know, there was a question years ago about affairs. Now, if you see your friend having an affair, or your friend tells you they're having an affair,
right?
Do you go tell the husband?
Oh, no. My lips are zipped.
Well,
I would not want to be a part of that, no.
Well, what if it's the other way, though? What if you see the husband having an affair with your... Do you go tell your friend?
No. I would not want to be in the middle of that.
Right. And she might not believe you.
And that happens too. A lot of people do not.
Then you lose a friend.
Right. So I kind of remove myself from them type of situations. Because then I'll be implicated as the one, you know, that got in the middle and possibly destroyed their marriage. No.
Well, and that's a whole nother thing. Can you forgive an affair?
You mean if it's your significant other that is in an affair?
Yeah. If you found out about it, can you forgive it?
It depends. I may have forgiven one. I don't know. I've been married twice. I don't know, you know.
Well, I think that it's probably all situational, isn't it?
I think so. I was always under the impression that if a person did cheat, that the relationship they are in, they didn't think much about it. You know?
Well, that's probably true, but I don't know. If Is that the worst thing you can do? Because you know what's funny? Like, you can, let's say you go out and you have a joint checking account.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people goes out without telling the other and spends thousands of dollars.
Right.
Now, nobody really says, well, you should get a divorce over that.
Some people do now.
Right, but it's not held in the same esteem that an affair is.
Oh, no, no. Because, you know, between a husband and wife, that part of your relationship should be sacred and set apart just for husband and wife. Now, if you bring someone else into it, then whoever you slept with, then your wife has to sleep with those people also, and all those people that person slept with. It's just like, remember when AIDS came out and they gave us that history and education about having sex with people? Well, when you do that, that's true.
But isn't this a problem to begin with?
Of course.
Because, I mean, let's say you're just dating. And you know that the person's been married maybe several times. Now, I mean, is that a big deal?
Well, probably not. And it would depend on also how detached that person has become in the relationship. Now, someone that just maybe a year or so, they may have some attachment still there.
See, I look at divorce a little different. I look at divorce as smart enough to know that something wasn't working. Why do you want to stay in something that is not making you happy?
Well, some people try to, they have the thought that maybe we can work this out. Maybe we do not have to dissolve our marriage like right now.
I don't think that ever works.
And sometimes it does, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it works.
Well, what can you really find out long-term that's going to patch that hole in that boat?
And it may not be that you're going to find out anything. I think it's between the two people whether they come to an agreement. They're going to make it work.
See, I feel like, much like the Titanic, once you hit the glacier,
that's it.
And there's a hole in the boat, it might take the boat a while to go down.
Yeah,
but it's going down.
You're right, and it happens like that, you know.
Because you can't patch that hole.
No, no.
So you can talk about it all day long,
right?
But that boat's still going down.
But you can dismiss it and move on. Some people can do that.
But I don't think that. I just don't think it's forever. Because it was, if it's a big enough issue that you really, if you thought about leaving, it's going to, the first time that person doesn't run the vacuum cleaner, that's going to be back in your mind.
So everything's going to come right back.
Everything's
out, right?
Coming right back. Well, remember when you did that, and then that person doesn't like having it thrown in their face.
Right.
Then you're off in a whole nother.
And then you're thinking, why did I do that? Why didn't I leave when I had the chance? Why didn't I run, you know? Why did I think this was going
to
work?
Yeah, why? I don't even know how you come to any agreement. I really don't. And I will tell you what, my grandparents, I think, did come to an agreement in their life. But you know what? At year 50, the divorce came.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure at times in their life, they came to agreements to stay together.
Right, right.
For whatever reason. But in year 50...
50 years of marriage, they divorced.
I'll tell you, it was a funny story. I think I was in college, and I was working somewhere here in town. I think I was working at Perkins at the time. I was in college. And I get a phone call from her, my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, can you come pick me up after work? And I thought, well, that's odd, because she drives, and... But it wasn't totally odd, because she would come over and stay for a few days at our house, you know. And I thought, well, maybe it's not so odd. So I pull up after work, because she lived just up the road there from Perkins. And I pull up, and she's coming out with a suitcase. And she puts the suitcase in the car, and she gets in the car, and she says, I'm never going back. And she never did. And the divorce came... I think it took about a year, but she never lived with him again. She never went back to that house.
Do you know what happened?
You know, I think I do. I think it was an argument, and I think it was, but I'm almost certain, nobody else was there, so we really don't know, but I'm almost certain that the argument that day was probably not the worst argument they ever had. But I think what happened was it spurred all those patches, all those years, and at that point, they were up in age, and said, and I think she thought, listen, my kids are grown that I've had with him. We've got grandkids together now. I've only got so many years left. I'm not spending them this way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something.
Now, it is interesting because for the they both lived pretty good. I mean, they both lived more than 10 years after that.
Okay.
But, and they would, if there was a birthday party or, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving where the family would get, they would both be there. Mm-hmm. And they talked. I mean, it wasn't like they didn't talk to each other.
Right.
But, matter of fact, I remember. We had a big birthday party for her. I can't remember what it was, 70 or 79. I don't remember. She was 70-something. He came to the birthday party. So, you know, they just didn't live together.
Okay.
Now, the interesting thing about that, I will say, is I think she was happier. I don't know that he was. Mm-hmm. I think he was probably very upset that she left.
He probably was hurt.
Now, he would never admit that.
It's a long time.
But he seemed a little more lonely than she did. Now, she didn't seem lonely at all.
Right.
She got to go out and get her own apartment for the first time. She got to get her own friends. She didn't have anybody to cook for or clean for. And for the first time in her life, she operated on her schedule.
So what happens in a 50-year-old marriage that suddenly it doesn't matter anymore and you get your divorce, even though you're older in age as well?
Well, think, though, if she would have stuck around, she'd have had more than 10 years of that, something she didn't like.
Wow. Why go 50 years with it then?
Well, my guess is, I don't know for sure, because I never talked to him about it.
Right.
But, I mean, I think they had 5 kids, so I'm sure when the kids were young, it was for the kids. We don't want to, you know. So that probably, from the first kid to the last kid of 5, you know, that's probably a 30-year period right there.
Probably.
So once all the kids were gone, well, before the last kid moved out, the grandkids were coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the grandkids are babies. And, you know, and I think at that point their kids did try to talk them into working it out. You know, oh, come on, you've been married 30, 35 years.
Yeah.
We got grandkids are young. Why do you guys want to separate now? And I think it just boiled and boiled and boiled and then finally had enough.
Do you think he cheated on her or something?
And after 50 years, I don't think it was that, which is, this comes to my mind, because I don't think it did have anything to do with that. I think a lot of people think, a lot of times, that's the ultimate sin, is the cheating.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I think sometimes you're just tired of the person.
I guess that could be true.
And I'll tell you another thing that I think contributed to it, they both retired.
Oh, more time together.
24/7. Now, not only are all the kids gone, now you got to spend all day and all night with that person. And then you find out, you know, after 40 years, because, you know, honestly, after they retired, it didn't last long. Maybe 3 or 4 years. That was probably the nail in the coffin. Now, I think there were arguments, but I think by that point, you know, and I'm sure, you know, it's financial, too.
Yes.
You know, I think when you have 5 kids, you know, you probably think, boy, how can I live alone and da-da-da?
Yes,
So you have a lot of reasons you stay together, and 2 incomes are better than 1.
Right.
But I think when it got to the point where I don't need you for finances anymore, the kids are all grown. We don't have any kids here. Our grandkids are getting older now. And we're both retired. this is awful.
Time to go.
Time to go. And I do remember saying to her, what did you do with your wedding ring? And she said, I got rid of that thing when I was... It had been gone for many years. She got rid of that. So I think there had been fallings out.
So funny.
You know, it's interesting.
That is interesting.
But she was happier. So that always, you know, you don't know. Don't stick with something just because you think you're going to be miserable if it's over. Mm-hmm. Because that always told me, listen, hey, 50 years, and she, the last, whatever, I can't remember how long she lived, but it was more than 10, I think were the happier years of her life.
That's something. Something to consider.
Yeah, it's never too late.
No, it's not.
And why should you stay with somebody just for longevity?
Well, just like her, it won't last. If there's nothing really there to hold you there, or if you're not happy about it, and it doesn't get any better, of course you're going to leave.
And who knows what that last fight was.
Right.
I will say this, because I was close with my grandparents. Well, you knew her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
She seemed like a happy woman, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And you met her after the divorce.
I had no idea, but yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. She was a very active woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, It's interesting because now that I look back on that, I you know, at the time, I was not that old mm-hmm. when she left. I was in college. So you don't ask your grandparents questions that maybe you would ask now.
Right.
But I look back at it, and I think that by that, I don't know how they were when they were young, but I think by that point, they were really different people. She liked to do things. She liked to go to store openings.
Right.
She liked to play cards with her friends. She liked to go to bingo. She liked to go to things.
Right.
He wanted to be the first one there and the first one out. And I think that wore thin
probably,
after a while.
Probably, yeah.
And the older he got, the worse it got.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, when you're a couple, you think, well, I got to take this person.
No such thing. You don't have to do anything, especially if you don't want to.
Well, they were an interesting profile, and you know, I was lucky that my grandparents were alive long. I got to know them well because they were alive into my. You know, how many people have their grandparents into their 30s and 40s, which I did.
Right.
So I knew them well, but they just were not compatible.
Wow.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. The point I was going to make was I knew them very well. I never saw either one of them ever get involved in a relationship. And like I said, after 50 years...
You know, you mean like cheating on one another?
Well, no,
never
no.
Saw that.
No, after the divorce.
Okay.
They never were involved.
With other people?
No. No. Hmm. Now, I suspected that he might have been.
Okay.
But if he did, he never brought them to anything, mm-hmm. and he never mentioned them, and they were never at his house when I would go see him.
Hmm.
Now, I know she didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been easier to tell.
Right.
She was just, you were just around her more. She never, never, never again, and I knew men who did try to, you know.
Were interested in
yeah, yeah.
Your
she just,
she.
I think for her, 50 years was enough. She didn't want to... You know what's funny? It's one of my favorite sayings, and it wasn't hers, but I love hearing this. You know, I don't remember who this was, but there was a lady in her 90s,
mm-hmm.
and she was married 70 years, and her husband got sick, and he was sick probably for 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and he died. And so he's dead like a year, and the grandkid goes to the 90-year-old woman, and says, well, you know, Grandma, you know, you're still around.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to meet this man? I got this man I'd like to introduce you to, maybe just to go do things with. And
keep right.
And she said, I don't want to take care of another old man. You never think about that.
No.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Till death do you part.
It is a lot of work.
You don't want to take care of another.
No. That's true. So true.
You know how I mean, it's not to say you didn't love the person.
Right.
But you're done. Mm-hmm. At 90, you don't have the energy to be taking care of anybody else.
No. 60, 70. A lot of people just don't want to be, you know, tied down like that. Grandparents, great-grandparents, you know. You've already raised your children and possibly your grandchildren.
And I'll tell you, kids are always kids.
Yes.
Your kids could be in their 50s, and if your mom starts dating somebody else, oh, and my goodness gracious.
You'll have to tell me.
Isn't that true? Why is that?
I do not know.
Because I know their kids would have had a conniption.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have liked it.
Right. I've had that.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand when you're a little kid because you have to end up living with this person. I get that. But why do you care if you're not living with them?
They care.
They do?
They care. I know.
Why?
My daughters, oh my gosh.
But, you know, it's fascinating because they're not upset that, I mean, they get over the divorce,
mm-hmm.
but they do not want you seeing anybody else.
No. And they're very particular about who you see.
Well, and heaven forbid if one of the parents dies.
Yes.
Then you're trying to replace them.
Right.
That's what they say.
Right.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, when my spouse passed, I did not want to put another man over my children. They were like 12 and 9 when he passed. But, because you don't know what you're getting. You know what you had, but you don't know what you're getting.
You know, the only thing I will say to that, and maybe we'll continue this next week, because it's an interesting subject, because we're running out of time here. But a fascinating thing on that is, though, I always say this to single people. Do not, even if your kids are young,
mm-hmm.
don't put the man or woman over your kids. Don't do that. I'm not saying do that. But
right.
If you decide all of a sudden to make your kids the complete 100% focus, you will be unhappy.
Of course.
Because you don't control anybody else.
Mm-mm.
The only person you control 100% is you.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be no reason why you cannot put your kids first, but still have a relationship that is positive with somebody else.
Oh, yeah, you can.
But people think you can't.
Right. I did have other relationships, but not like marriage and bring them into
right.
the home
doesn't
like
have to
that.
Be.
Right.
Well, but you should not let... If the kid tells you... See, that's where it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When the kid's... Like we've said, like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know about that.
It was my own decision.
Good.
It was my own decision.
But it's not for a lot of parents.
Right.
They get very upset. And why live in misery? Now, if the guy's miserable,
yeah.
If the guy, you know, that's one thing.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you this, though. If the kid comes in and is rude to your kids,
oh, yeah.
Out the door.
Oh, yeah.
They can be nice to you all day long, but out the door to them. Somebody's going to have to remind us to finish this conversation next week, because interesting conversation.
Good conversation.
We'll be here on election night. Don't forget. And Linda will be back next week. Voice of the People, Wednesday and Thursday, 10:15 to 12 noon. And she'll be here for election coverage, assuming the airwaves with all of us, on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. For this day, for Linda Sims, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, commenting on Hillary Clinton.
Do you have, in closing this week, do you have a favorite Hillary Clinton story?
Well, you know, I would see her quite often. One of the things I most remember her about was when Sacagawea was introduced. She was in charge of that, the whole ceremony and everything. She was the master of ceremonies. And we had all the Indians there and everything. The Indians, every tribe was represented. And she did a beautiful job with that, but she's always so friendly, and it upsets me when I hear people talk about her the way they do, because that isn't her, and I don't know why.